Amen. God is good. I just want to praise the Lord this morning. Just want to give him all the glory and honor for this day that allowing us to be here. I'm not the preacher today. My wife is, so she'll be sharing the word with you. I just want to greet you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I just greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our God is so faithful and true. Sorry. Before I just want to share the word, I just feel so honored and privileged to be here. You know, when the song Great Sad Land of the Holy Spirit came. Sorry. That's been my heart cry for the prophecy to be fulfilled for this nation and for our people. As we were singing, In the spirit, I saw this church is going to lead the revival in this city. You know, I've been traveling the world looking and praying for my nation and my people. Seeking and praying and saying, Lord, who is going to help us to take this reproach from us that we may rise up as a people to give glory to you? That way, Pastor, I received that word because I know it was divine what you're saying, that there is going to be an army rising up. You know, I don't just go anywhere or to anything. I just pray and seek the face of God. Because I'm not here for any other thing, but my heart is always praying and crying for my people. I just wanted to read this, but I'll just open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just praise you and thank you this morning for giving us this opportunity to come and share with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray that your will be done and let your word be established for this nation. Lord, I pray that you open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to see and to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, to the church and to the nation of Australia and to the nations in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray that your presence go before us, behind us, above us, beneath us, beside us, from the left to the right, Father. Lord, you've been telling us to lead these people, but how can we lead these people unless your presence go before us? I just praise you and thank you, Father, that you have your way, let your will be done, Lord. And I pray that you anoint my lips what to speak and when to speak. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. I just felt the Lord wanting me to share about our journey, where it began, because this journey has brought us to this new door. We are standing here today. Amen. I just wanted to read from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Verse 14. It says here, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Amen. May God bless the reading of His word. My name is Kelly Clancy. I'm the youngest daughter of my mother, who is Pastor Karen Skinner. Her ministry is River of Life Ministries in Loma. I'm the youngest of the five girls. My mother was going to Bible school with Pastor Margaret Court in 1982. So during that time, I don't know if you heard of Riverview Church. We were the first indigenous family that joined that church when it was just only starting, which was about 150 people. And they gave my mama scholarship to go to Bible school. And it was at that time she went to Bible school with Pastor Margaret and many other. So we saw the Riverview Church originate from Highgate, William Street, then on to Barrack Street in the city there, and then to where they are today. So we saw this church grow to what it is today, and to see how Victory Life expanded out. But you know, I just praise God for that opportunity. My husband here, Gary, is from a traditional background. His parents, both his parents, they come from the desert. They were bush people. So in our culture and in our customs, we have what we call skin groups. And it's like a totem where you marry into certain clans, you know. So in our culture, my husband and I, we weren't supposed to be married. So we broke the laws of marriage. And I want you to understand, because in order for you to understand, you need to know how to reach the indigenous people. And I believe not many people know really the lives of the indigenous people. And in order for this nation to be set free and delivered, it needs the grassroots, it needs the indigenous people from the communities to be broken. Amen. In order for us to move on as a nation. And this is what the Lord had called me and my husband to do. Me and my husband been together for over 30 years. And, you know, we have 8 children and 10 grandchildren. But, you know, I just praise God, because I grew up in the church. And I also grew up in a home. And during this time, you know, I knew the word of God and everything like that. But when I married my husband now, it was another story. You know, truly they say love is blind, eh? I just saw the heart, but I didn't see the tradition. But, you know, I just praise God, because when I first married my husband, I really struggled. And I thought to myself, oh my God, was I thinking straight? Is this really God, or what is this, you know? Because I saw the deeper, dark side to tradition, the indigenous tradition I'm talking about. And this is what not many people know and understand. And I just felt the Lord telling me to share this today so that you can understand where we are coming from. Anyway, for many years, I was struggling because of the persecution within the family. One, because of breaking tradition in marriage. Number two was being a Christian family, you know. It was like I was called a white girl, but I don't think there's anything white about me.
But what they don't understand it was that sometimes they say white, but they're trying to say it's Jesus, you know. And anyway, what happened was, I went through all this persecution, you know, like my husband's dad had two wives, and they could not really speak any English at all. And so it was a struggle, and, you know, in the beginning I was, like, they made me angry, you know. And my husband, it caused a lot of rift between us. But, you know, one day the Lord said, when we went out hunting in the bush, it was like I was that person that didn't understand or know anything. I was standing there. And I would say, how can you track this goanna up? Because we still eat traditionally. We go hunting and that traditionally. And I was thinking, how can they tell this goanna was there about an hour ago or yesterday? To me, a track is a track. All I see is the same thing, you know? And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know, this is their world. And you have to learn to bridge that gap between modern civilization. In that world, that is your world. But in this world, this is their world. And so it took me a long time to try and adjust to this custom. And the Lord, every time they were treating me bad because of tradition, you know, the Lord would tell me, do good to them. Bless them that curse you. And have a servant heart. Do everything as unto the Lord. And in my mind, I'd be just biting my tongue and I'd be saying, love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering, love is gentle, and I would serve them, you know? But it was only because God wanted to teach me something. And, you know, today, only because of Gary's young mother, she ended up with dialysis, and she ended up getting sick, that I had to take her down here to Perth because we're so remote. And during that time, that's when the Lord brought us together, and they accepted. They said, oh, you must take her because you can talk, you understand doctors, you understand the city, you understand civilization better than us. So I took the old lady here and I had to interpret to the doctors and tell her and help her to adjust to this life here in the city. And from that time, I saw the Lord start to open the door now and turn the situation around. And it had not been easy, especially in our traditional culture, you know, to break that and to be married to someone who is very traditional, you know. So, you know, I just praise God because I believe that God is opening a door globally. And I believe this is the beginning of that door. Because we was in our other church for 9 years, but I believe the Lord anointed us and appointed us for that season to be in that church. Last year, the Lord told us it's time to leave because I'm going to close this door and I'm going to open a new door. And I believe that new door is here today because 12 years ago we had a vision that the Lord was going to give us the opportunity to share and mingle with the Asian community. I didn't know where or when or how, but we've been praying into this time, you know. And my heart's cry has been for this nation, that people can come and work with our people. And our people are very spiritual, and you need the fruits of the Spirit in order for them to receive you. And the only way sometimes it's not in your words, but it's in your actions. Everything has to be done in action. You know, the Lord was telling me, your life must preach for you. in order for the people to know and understand, your life must preach to the people. And what is that? It is showing love, it is showing kindness, it is showing gentleness. And you know, today I just feel like the Lord was saying to me, you are home. This is where you will not worry anymore. But you are having intercessors that will stand with you and cry and pray with you for your nation and your people. You know, we've been doing healing the land process and doing repentance. And in our culture, there are still today ancestral worship. It is very deep rooted in the indigenous community. That is the reason why you see most Aboriginal people, you know, people say, what's wrong with these people? Why can't they get a job? Or why can't they do this and that? What I feel the Lord wants me to share is so that you can understand, so that you know how to pray into this. Because if you know how to pray into it, you are breaking the ground of the nation, the stronghold, the roots. Because we can't build this nation with the gospel unless we cut the roots. And this is where we need to cut first the roots. It's in the communities. We need to break that roots, to, you know? What the people are doing is still doing ancestral worship, but they also still go to church, some of them, which we can't have that. You know, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying, like in John chapter 4, you know, if we can go there, in 21, it says, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship what ye do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seek such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, when I look at this scripture, I always think about the 22, ye worship what ye know not. And this is what most of our people, they don't know what they worship. You know, even in the church, they don't know what they worship. Why? Because it's all religious spirits. You know, but true worshipers, he doesn't hear with his ears, but he hears with his heart, because that's where the Spirit of God is, in the heart. Everything is a heart attitude, you know, and this is what we're looking for, people to come and to embrace our people and to teach them the true heart of worship, to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Not in any other way, but preach Jesus. What does Jesus stand for? You know, in order for me to win my people, it took a lot of praying, it took a lot of crying, but it also took a lot of persecution. Even today as we speak, there is a lot of persecution happening. You know, our people, they're very strong in ancestral worship, so our community of Luma, when the old people were coming out of the bush, they threw those stones away and idols made of wooden stone. what has been passed on for thousands of generations. Like it's passed on from the father line, you know? But when we had this healing of the land, some people repented and they came. When we came back from Africa in 2011, this old man came and he bought all his idol worshiping stuff, even bought bags of witchcraft stuff and bought it to be burnt. People were running and crying and getting pornographic materials and whatever because we told them we can't compromise with the Word of God. And this is what we need. We need your prayers. Why I'm saying this is because there was over 250 people that gave their lives to the Lord. But what happened? These traditional elders came and said, oh, you can't do that. People talking about you all over Australia. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming for you people. What you done, you're going to wait because the tribal punishment is coming. They're going to spear you, they're going to shoot you, they're going to do this and that to you. But this is what the people don't know. The world don't know that this goes on, that it is hard to surrender your life totally to Jesus Christ. Now, the one thing that is happening today in Australia, you people have heard about the native title. Now, this native title is evil. And we've been praying. Why I'm saying this is because about 15 years ago, we were interceding and praying, and the Lord said, this fight is not spiritual. It's not physical, but it's spiritual. So we've been interceding for this nation for 15 years. During this time, we went into town and my sister, she ended up getting mentally disturbed because of witchcraft. And the Lord led us there, and as we were praying with this couple, ready to break our fast, the word the Lord gave this lady was, I have come. And the Lord is saying, the army of the Lord has come. You know, in Joshua chapter 5, saying, are you for them or are you for us? And he said, neither, but I come as the army of the Lord. And this army of the Lord, when she was prophesying this was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I had a vision. And in this vision, I saw this Aboriginal man with no paint. And he was coming down from heaven, and he had a spear. And he had that hook where you throw that spear, you know? And he was coming down, and he was standing like this, coming down. And then when he landed, he was starting to run and throw the spear into the desert. I want you to understand where we're coming from, because this is what I want you to pray into. He kept running and throwing the spear into the desert, and I can see all this demon running. And I said, what is this thing? And I kept praying, and I opened my eye, and I was still seeing this vision. I said, what is this thing? And I kept praying, and then I told my husband, I think the Lord don't want us to go back to the farm, but we must stay here. I don't know why. I don't understand. Then after we finished that phone call, they rang to say my sister was sick and in hospital. I thought sick as in sick. But when I looked at the hospital, and I praise God that we were fasting and praying, she was saying, Kelly, and then you could see that demon just grabbed her tongue and couldn't speak. And she just gone. And I said, you foul spirit, who are you? And that demon said, shut up and let the men speak. And I said, no demon in hell is going to tell me to shut my mouth. But I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And we prayed with my sister for 3 days. And the doctors came and told us, we haven't seen this illness since the 18th century. But you will never see your sister come out of that mental institution. She's going to die there. And we said, she is not going to die there, but she is going to come out because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And he has delivered her. She has got a no spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. I said, we will not accept that. And we prayed, me and my husband, 3 days and three nights. Anyway, as I was going to the bank, I told my husband, right here now that man with that spear came. And he landed right here and he threw. And when I looked across the road, I saw it was the Kimberley Land Council. And the Lord said, your warfare is not physical, but it's spiritual. Pray into the Land Council of Australia, because this thing is defiling the land. Because why, in this native title, they have said that you have to acknowledge your ancestral worship in order for you to get anything from the land. If you are a Christian, you can't get nothing. So we've been fighting the Land Council in prayer, but there have been times when the Lord has made us to go and to tell them, repent and stop what you're doing. And this is what we really need prayer in, because ever since we've come back from Africa, the Lord has told us to rebuke, because he gave us a vision in 2007 in Daniel chapter 4, where he's talking about the tree of Nebuchadnezzar, that the land council, he want to be food for the whole world, meaning he want to be food for Australia and for the Aboriginal people. But we cannot join with idol worshippers. And this is what we told them, we will stand for righteousness and we will not bow down to any idol worshipping made of wood and stone. And anyway, they told me and my husband, in our native title in the Nyigana Mangala, it's the largest native title in the whole of Australia. They told us that we have denounced our right to the land, so we cannot say anything over our land. And I said, Deuteronomy 19:15 tells us that you cannot step over the landmark of your forefathers. You cannot step over anyone's boundary. And we said, we claim our land in the name of Jesus. We will not bow to idols. I said, you know, did you know in the Bible that in Daniel's, it was talking about Nebuchadnezzar was a king, and he made a decree in all the land to say that at this time you must bow down and worship me. But Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to do that. But they said, we will stand for the living God. And this is what we've been doing today. We've been persecuted. They won't tell us to our face. But what they've been doing is attacking our children and our family. Even now, even some of the people that were attacking them. And so the people have turned away. So my preaching is mainly done on Facebook. I've got people from all over Australia, indigenous people, who I just share the gospel. Some of these people have never been to church before, but now they come on my Facebook and they pray. At first there was a lot of slandering and swearing and talking about fighting and suicide and everything, but now we see the attitude is changing. And this is what we need. I told Pastor, I want you all on my Facebook page and just share the word of God, because you're reaching others. Every day I have other people adding me on. About a month ago, there was a lady from Warman in Turkey Creek. She came and she said, I have come because I have heard about you too. All over the Kimberleys, in the East Kimberley, they say there's the true light there. And we come to look for the true light. We know it's you. And she came to me because, and my husband, because she had a tattoo on her arm. She said as they were drinking when she was younger, she got a tattoo of a skull. and flames and a knife through the skull. And she said, ever since that day I got that tattoo, even though I was drunk, she reckoned I felt like I'd made a covenant with the devil. And she said, oh, maybe it's too late for me. I think God can't hear me. And I said, no, that's a lie of the devil. We're going to pray with you and we're going to reverse the curse, because Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. He became a curse when he hung on that tree. Anyway, me and my husband started praying with her. As we were praying, she was just sitting there and just weeping and weeping, because we anointed it with oil. She reckoned, the only way I can tell when somebody is a true Christian, it's like my arm, it aches and it's heavy and it's like it's going to fall off. But she said, every time I'm near you two, it's even worse. And I said, oh, praise the Lord, you know. God is good. But I said, God brought you here for a reason, to do deliverance. And she came and she said, I'm here because I want to throw away all my idols. We are ready there, but people, they want to come out, but they're afraid. But they've been watching me and my husband standing and saying, no, we will not bow to idols. So they've been waiting for 15 years or more for us to die, but we're still here. So it's just the grace of God. And, you know, I just praise God for this opportunity to work with you guys, because, you know, I really feel that God is going to do awesome things through you, Mob. You know, just be led by the Spirit of God. And whatever the Lord lead you to do, just go ahead and do it. Because there are people that are ready and waiting. Because now they're seeing a turnaround. Even when some people threw away some idols, my nephew said, oh, him and his friends on Facebook said, let's crucify them. Let's turn them, crucify them on the upside down cross. And I wrote to him on the Facebook and I said, my son, be careful. Do not play with the things of God just for publicity. The things of God is real. It is not to be messed with. I said, I have seen people come against us who are 6 feet under. Don't play, you know? And this is what we want prayer in, because we want prayer that the people do not fear their lives but will surrender all to Jesus. When we left the church last year, the Lord took us to Canberra for the Uluru Bark petition. And during that time we were there, we anointed every four corners of Parliament, because that's what the Lord wanted us to do. And we even anointed four corners of the Legislative Assembly in Canberra. And we said, Lord, we are taking back the land in the name of Jesus, and we are decreeing and declaring your revival in this land. And we are decreeing and declaring true unity, true reconciliation of white and black. I said, we don't want, you know, we cannot change the past. No matter how much we want to go back there, we'll never change it. But we must learn to have a heart of forgiveness and a heart of love and compassion towards one another and our nation. You know, I believe that song in Qantas, you know, we are one, but we are many. From the land of Oz we come. And that's what we got to be. We got to try and achieve that goal, to be one. Though we are many, but we must be one. Because why? God has called us for such a time as this, to be here in this nation. You know, I praise God because of the gospel of Jesus Christ coming. You know, my grandmother was a half-caste old lady. My great-grandfather was a white man from, I don't know if it was England or Ireland, one of those places, you know. But she went through a hard time. Her mother was a full-blood Aboriginal who was paralyzed from the waist down. And her family was massacred by her dad. And, you know, when we read the report about what had happened, I said, you know what, Mom, regardless of how painful whatever happened, but we have to accept, because we can't deny one side of our race to the other side. But we have to accept, repent on behalf of the white side and repent on behalf of the black side, and we have to keep moving. You know, sometimes we hold on to past hurts. You know, the sun rises and the sun sets, but you're stuck back there 10 years ago. And this has been the problem with Indigenous today, I believe, is we pass one generation of hurt onto the other. We make them remember the bad. But there are times when there were things that were good, but we don't remember the good, but we remember the bad. And we've got to put our trust in Christ. If we say that we belong to Jesus Christ, well, isn't it all about unconditional forgiveness and love? You know, that's what will bring healing to our land. And this is what I'm telling my people, you know, and it has been hard. You know, just 3 weeks ago, there was a 29-year-old man, because we've been rebuking his family because they're the one that is trying to push for idol worshiping and saying, you're not getting anything from the land. You know, he's angry now because we've taken it further in the courts, and we said we will not bow to these idols. So what happened? He went and attacked my 3-year-old grandson, abusing him, swearing at him, cursing him, you know. And I was so angry. In the flesh, I would have went and punched him, you know. But in my heart, I was saying, Lord, in order for me to break that revenging spirit, that argumentative spirit, I have to just be peaceful, and I have to pray the fruit of the Spirit. Love is patient, love is kind. And this has been happening. This same person went and punched my son and said, what's your problem? And my son said, oh, just go away. And, you know, I keep telling my children, be the better person to walk away. Keep walking away, you know, the Lord will do the rest. And, you know, I just praise God that this door is a new door to a new beginning. And why I'm saying this, because I know that this is the door that God has opened. And I am willing to work with you, Pastor, because I know that God is going to use you to mightily and your ministry to reach our people. We're not here looking for pity, but we want our people to rise up. They have to rise up and take their place. But you know what? They don't want changes. You know, people say, oh, what's wrong with them? They want to rise up. But these people who are trying to keep them bound with tradition, when they want to rise up, pull them down. Remember the forefathers. But we must remember them no more. I just wanted to read in my closing. This is my prayer, and I just pray that you will also stand with me in Nehemiah chapter 1. This has been my prayer for a long time. Every time I see this, I always pray, and I just repent on behalf of my people and my nation. Chapter 1, verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keep covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandment. Let thine ear now be attentive and the eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servant, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept thy commands, nor the statutes, nor the judgment which thou commanded thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commanded thy servant Moses, saying, If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nation. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commands and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the utter part of the heavens, yet will I gather them from thence and bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name thereof. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by the great power and by the strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thy ears be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servant who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thy servant this day and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. You know what? I believe this is a season for us, like Nehemiah the cupbearer, to go back and build those walls that the missionaries has built in this nation in the beginning. You know, not all missionaries were bad. You know, there's good and bad in everything. But I believe the Lord is wanting us to come back and rebuild God's kingdom back in this nation. You know, to bring healing to our people. It's only the people who are bitter and hateful that is poisoning the land. But we must take back the land and say we must forgive. You know, I grew up in a home and I was abused in that home. But you know, the choice was mine whether to be bitter or to forgive. And I chose to forgive. And I continue to choose to forgive. Why? Because I don't want to be stuck yesterday. But I need to move on in my life. You know, I can't change my past, but I can change my future. And the future that I'm changing, because God is a God of future. He knows the plan and the purpose for us, to prosper us. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plan and the purpose to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. And what is it? It's when we come and pray to him and seek his face. And this is what we've been doing, is trying to teach our people to forgive so that God can bring healing to our land. You know, and I just want to praise God that I believe this is just the beginning of something new, and I feel honored and privileged. And Pastor, I believe that God is going to use your ministry to move in this city, to be nation changers. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.